Yes, we just thank you, Lord, for the emblems of the bread and wine, what they represent. And just minister that truth to us, to our bodies, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to now hear from Karen, who's going to speak to us. What can I say about Karen? Well, Karen is renowned for not pulling her punches.
I did not do it.
No, I know you didn't do it. He fell. Okay. On this occasion, he fell. Lord, we just want to pray for Karen now as she comes, and we just want to hear. We want to have ears that are open to hear what you're going to say to us. Father, speak to us and just change us in our understanding of what you've made us to be as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, everybody. Morning. Around and about. Okay, I asked Roland, first of all, whether I needed to read the story, and he said, oh no, somebody's doing it very well, and they did. So I think we've all got what the story is about, and I'm sure many of us already know it. So we've just got a few minutes. All I'm going to do is share my observations on the passage and then my reflections about it as well, if that's okay. So my first observation is about the Pharisees and teachers of the law, because they, when you're reading Luke, it talks about how they always seemed to be there whenever Jesus was talking. So it wasn't, this was a one-off. They were always around. My assumption is they were always around because they wanted to catch him out, and they really didn't like him because they didn't like what he had to say and they didn't agree with it. And I think in our general lives, we're always going to come across people who are a bit like the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who don't like Jesus and don't like what he has to say about life. What I find about the Pharisees is that although they had the law, they also made their own law based on the law of Moses, and it became something, and still is, to be honest, quite a lot bigger than God ever intended it to be. And living by those rules, there is no freedom. And their ability just to stand there and sit there and wait for Jesus to trip himself up is quite astonishing, really, and their need for Jesus to be wrong. That's my first observation. My second is around this, because often it's talked about the faith of the friends that took the man on the mat to Jesus. And I thought, well, it couldn't just have been their faith. It wasn't that the man was fighting against it in any way, shape, or form. He wasn't saying, don't take me, I don't want to go. He clearly wanted to see and meet Jesus, for Jesus to make a difference in his life. And that made me think about how, as Christians, we are friends with people who have our belief set, and hopefully we're friends that might not have our belief set. Those friends who have our belief set sometimes also need our support to drop them down to be with Jesus, if you like. Sometimes their faith isn't as strong as it has been, or it could be, or whatever, and sometimes they're struggling. And our friendship should be around those people who have the same faith as us and who just need support, not judgment, support. And they need our faith because their own faith is lacking. And hopefully we also have people, our friends, that might not know Jesus. I'm going to tell you a story from many years ago. So I became a Christian in an Anglican church, and some years later I joined an Assembly of God church. I felt very strongly that before I went to college, God asked me to do a year of volunteering. So I chose, and I believe that God led me to, volunteer with the Assemblies of God Church, and you, Roland, are not to laugh at this bit, okay? And I became a herald. See, I knew he would. For those that can't see, Roland is laughing at me. And the job of a herald was to go and support churches all over the country. So I had a fantastic few weeks in a castle in Scotland, and I had some not-so-fantastic weeks in a very damp house down in Tavistock, down south. One time I was at a church in Crewe, and they were having a healing crusade. I don't think those exist anymore, really. And the job of the heralds were to go door to door, inviting people to go to the healing crusade and put leaflets through doors. And then to support during the evenings. Now, as a female herald, I had to wear head covering all the time, which, as you can imagine, didn't bless me very much at all. And we had to stand on the door and we had to welcome people. We had to take the offering and just do the practical things. And then afterwards, we would go and visit people who had responded to either the call to become a Christian or who had been prayed for. And I went to visit this lady in her house who had seen a healing in her legs. I think, as I recall, she had really, really bad varicose veins on her legs and could hardly walk as a result. And during the service, these varicose veins literally disappeared. And I went to see her. And I said, just come to see and have a chat, see how you're feeling after the meeting. And basically just to ask where you are with Jesus. And she said, oh, I'm not bothered about him. I just wanted the healing. Not bothered about Jesus. And it really impacted me. And I thought, you know what? I bet she's not the only one that feels like that. They want something from Jesus, but they don't actually want that relationship with Jesus. And I think as Christians, our responsibility is not, A, to be friends with people so that we can just influence them towards that relationship with Jesus, because that's not going to work, is it? We are friends with people because we are friends. However, we are a friend who is a Christian. And therefore, as that friend, that Christianity should and is part of who we are, and people should see that. Quite a few years ago, I think it was when I worked two schools ago, and I job shared with a friend of mine, and she's a Catholic, and we used to have a lot of discussions around different viewpoints between various aspects of sort of state church and things like that. And I remember one day she said to me, well, all religions lead to God anyway. And I said, I'm surprised you believe that as a Catholic. She said, no, I think all religions lead to God, don't you? And I said, no, I don't, not at all. I believe that they are sincere in their belief, but I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and that Christianity is the only religion that believes that, and that impacts every part of my life. We had a further, quite frank discussion, and in the end we agreed to disagree. We're still friends now. She's my boss. But it's that being open and honest with who we are and what we believe, not to force people to believe the same, but to give people the opportunity to reflect for themselves on this person of Jesus, who he is and what he did for us. My next reflection is around these friends and the fact that they were determined, as was the friend, that they wanted him to meet Jesus to make a difference in his life. And they went to try to get near Jesus and they couldn't. So they found a different way. And I think sometimes we can be a bit impatient about our friendships and the fact that we would love all our friends to believe what we believe or to have that faith that can impact on their lives, and sometimes it can take a bit longer. And I reflected more in terms of my family as well as my friends. I had a long discussion with Sheila yesterday, who came to bring the flowers. So Sheila, if you're listening, I'm just going to talk about our discussion. Because I've been a Christian since the age of 14. And I was confirmed in an Anglican church, and all my family came. First time they'd been in church for years. And there wasn't a lot of room, and they'd run out of the booklets about the service. So as you can imagine, it wasn't a great experience for them. So they all came back for a drink, and I heard my brother moaning about the service. And my mum said to him, "Don't worry about it. She'll grow out of it soon. It'll be fine." And I remember saying to both of them, "It's not something I want to grow out of, so you need to get over that one. This is something I'm going to grow into." And I think now my brother fully accepts that we are Christians, that I am a Christian. But that was over 30 years ago. And it's almost now the familiar thing. Karen is a Christian. She goes to church. They occasionally come. But after being a Christian for so long, it's how you still make that impact. When you first become a Christian, things for you change, and people might see those changes. What you do, what you say, how you act. But after so long, they're used to that. I don't think it would be true to say familiarity breeds contempt, but it is familiar. This is who they know you to be now. But we still have to take those opportunities when they arise to talk to our friends and our family about what we believe and why we believe. And for me, it's now more about when God speaks to my life and sharing that with people. Or taking those opportunities when they arise to say, actually, I don't think that. I'll give you another example. I'm on a course at the moment which I am absolutely loving. It's all via Zoom, which I'm not loving because you have to sit in front of a screen from 9:30 until 4:00 for 2 days. And it's over 10 days, so you get 2 days and then a break. As part of that course, we were talking about something specific, and one of the people on the course said, "Oh, you need to read this guy. He's really good." And I'm busily writing the name of the guy down, and I'm going to write down the names of the books. Can't remember the name of the first book, and the name of the second book was about exploding God myths. And I stopped writing, and I thought, "Ooh, I'm not sure if I want to read that book or not." And one of the other people on the course piped up, "Actually, I didn't find those books very helpful as a practicing Christian. It's not where I'm at." He wasn't judgmental about it at all, but he got in his point of view. And that's where we need to be sometimes as well, isn't it? We're not judgmental in saying to people, "Actually, that's not where I'm at. This is my belief, and this is why I believe it." And it can take time. I'm still waiting for my family to become Christians. But it doesn't mean to say that I can't believe that that's still going to happen. For in this situation, it happened fairly rapidly. They just got rid of a few tiles and lowered their friend down. But for some of us, that can take a whole lot longer. But the crux of it is that faith has to stay the same. The faith that you may have for your friends and your family, that God can still impact on their lives. So interestingly, I think that that man had gone there with his friends because he wanted healing. He didn't want to be paralyzed any longer. But Jesus didn't initially say, "Get up." He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And for me, that's about Jesus knowing us better than we know ourselves and knowing what we need and when we need it. And actually, Jesus can do all of those things as he did for this man. And for us and for our families and our friends, it is about knowing that Jesus knows our hearts, and he knows what we need and when we need it, and it is about being open to that. And where we need to, when our friends and family are open, it's about walking that journey with them. It is not about pushing them into a journey, and it is not about forcing them. It is about walking in faith with them on their journey and being the Christian along that journey as well. And the last verse of the scripture that we were looking at was about how everybody was in awe of what God had done that day because of the healings that had taken place. Awe is very important in our lives. And it was, again, this course that I've been doing, they were talking about awe and wonder and the lovely chemicals it releases in your brain. And I thought, you know what, we're at an advantage here as Christians. We really are. Because we can worship God and be in awe of all that he has done for us and the enormity of the love that he has for us and the breadth of forgiveness that he has for us. And actually, you know, the more even thinking about it, I can feel those lovely chemicals being released in terms of the awe and wonder that we can have. So feel privileged about that, but experience it. So, we're in a situation today where life has been very different for us for the last 15 months. Some of us more than others. I've been, and me and Sally have been rocking up to work most of the time. Poor Sally hasn't been able to go all of the time. But for some people, they might still be on furlough. For some people, they may have lost their jobs. For some people, they may have been totally isolated for 15 months and still feel fearful. Everybody is in a different position. What COVID has done is mean that we cannot have that close physical relationship with lots of people in the way that we used to do and will do again. We can't have those conversations with people perhaps that we could before, but we will be able to again. For some of us, new relationships have developed with neighbours when we're in full lockdown. I know when I had COVID last year, lots of people were knocking on my door, what can I, you know, even Jackie next door, what shopping do you need? And those relationships began to be developed that might not have been done had COVID not come. And it's always about using our time wisely. And if people need us being there for them, but for no other reason, then that's what you think is the right thing to do. So let's wait and see how much longer we have to put up with this before we can do our hugging and our talking and our chatting face to face again, because that's something I think we're all really, really looking forward to. So just to finish, friendship, relationships are at the heart of who we are. That is how God created us to be. He created us to be in relationships with other people. Those relationships should never be forced, and there will be people that you will get on with, you'll have a lot in common, and there'll be people that perhaps you don't get on with. It doesn't stop you loving them, and it doesn't stop you praying for them. But what we all, I think, at our heart need to have is that faith for them and to pray for them and hold them before God in a non-judgmental way, in a non-pushy way, but at the same time, when those opportunities arise, that we use them. I'm going to finish with another story of a boy in the school that I work at. I love him to pieces. He's a very challenging little boy. He has lots of difficulties. And the last week he found out he's got yet another diagnosis of something else that he'll need to be medicated for. And his mum said, will you talk to him about it for me, please? So I got him to do me a little job, and I started talking to him. And I said, how do you feel about what you've got? And he went, well, I don't think God would give me more than I can cope with. And it sort of took me aback. He's 10, I think. So I said, so what do you think about God then? He said, well, I know he exists. I'm not really sure about much else. I think there's a Jesus in there somewhere. Then he said, there's a girl in his class who is fasting for Ramadan at the moment, and she has given him quite a lot of information about being a Muslim. He said, actually, I think I know more about being a Muslim than I do about being a Christian. Which challenged me a lot as well. And I was able only to say to him, look, if ever you've got any questions about what Christianity is and who Jesus is, please come and ask me. I'd be very happy to tell you. But that pure faith of, I don't believe God would give me more than I can cope with, is something that me as a Christian, I don't always feel. So let's think about our faith. Let's think about our friendships. Don't make them forced, but let's use our relationships to share who we are in Jesus and to share the awe and wonder of the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. Thank you.